The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the host and the guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
Van Wee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Welcome to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3 The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Now here are your hosts of the Van Wee Financial Hour, Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
It is Saturday morning. It is 10 o'clock. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we are hunkered down once again in our little bomb shelter here in my home.
Hopefully not for much longer.
Hopefully not. The world is slowly peeking out from under its rock, and there are a lot of restless people out there. So hope you're not one of them necessarily. Stick around for the whole hour and listen, and do yourself a one-hour favor by having one more hour of confinement behind you, and maybe you'll come out a little smarter too. You never know. We try to make people or help people learn something every hour of every Saturday that we're on. So welcome back to everybody, all the regulars. You're the reason that we do this and have kept doing it right along. We got our record intact. We've missed in 5 years and a couple of months, we've missed exactly two shows, both times for having been forcibly evacuated out of Jacksonville. So it's always fun to be here. Lines are open. Callers go to the head of the class. 904-222-8255. It's 222-TALK, and you can talk about whatever you want, and we will be happy to answer. This has been an interesting, if somewhat tedious, experience this year. But it's not without having left some opportunities on the table also, and I'm going to get into that a little bit later in the show. And what can you do about your situation here that could actually improve it as things start to come back together? And you know you will. You will be getting your old jobs back if you want them, and you'll be out and about again as you want to. And you can see it right now. Adam and I were just talking about this before the show came on. You can see the amount of traffic on the streets, and you know this is not the same city, at least, that it was 2 or 3 weeks ago. And it's not even what it was last week. People are actually getting out, moving around, doing things. There's going to be stores open. You're going to be able to do a little bit more restaurant touring and all that kind of thing. And by golly, we all need it for our mental attitude, if nothing else.
Yep, the beaches are going to be open, not for sitting, but for exercise. But the time restrictions are going to be gone as of Monday.
Oh, really? I hadn't heard that.
Yep.
That's a wonderful sign, I guess. And I like the way Governor DeSantis is handling this by treating us differently than Miami. And I wish some of the other governors around would realize that New York City is not representative of New York State, and one little town here and one big city there are not the same thing either, especially when they're hundreds of miles apart. But we're getting there. And I just heard this morning on the news that in the last 2 weeks, Trump approval ratings are up 6 points. So apparently people are okay with the fact that we're starting to do something now. I know it's been driving most of us a little crazy. On the other hand, let's talk about something fun, like, oh, the month of April in the stock market?
That was a fun month.
Yes, it was.
It was capped by a really strange week, though.
Yes, it was.
For the first part of the week, there was a lot of optimism, and there was all around the coronavirus reopenings. The market went up, and April closed out as one of the best months in the market since 1987. So the S&P rose almost 13%, the Dow was up more than 11%, and the NASDAQ was up more than 15%, all in that month, which is pretty crazy in a good way. The mood shifted late in the week, though, and on Friday, stocks really took a beating, dropping around 2.5 to 3%. European stocks were also down around 2%, while Asian stocks were more mixed. Some even posted gains, but China was actually down for the week but up on Friday, kind of the opposite of our what happened in our markets. Despite the large drop, the week was pretty flat, with losses on Thursday and Friday pretty much just negating the gains from earlier in the week. All three major averages were down 0.3% or less. So I always say if there's a day that's within a half a percent, that's pretty much a flat day. So when you see a week like that, that's really a flat week. For the year, there's a pretty big gap in the indexes, with the NASDAQ down just 4.1%, the S&P down more than 12%, and the Dow down almost 17%. So really kind of a wide disparity between the different indexes. And the reason for that I'll get to in a minute. Despite the flat week, there were some bright spots. Small and mid-cap stocks were up around 3%, which is a bullish sign for the overall market. They've been really lagging the market year to date. It's not really surprising considering how the lockdowns could potentially affect smaller companies more than larger companies. Larger companies have more resources. They have more international sales. That could be a positive or negative in this situation. But they also have the ability, in many cases, some of the largest companies do most of their business online in this day and age, and that has really benefited those companies. The S&P 500 sectors were mixed this week, with energy rising the most. I honestly can't remember the last time I said that.
I can.
When was that?
About 10 minutes ago.
Okay.
The time before that, I don't remember.
Yeah, it's been forever. It gained 3.5%. Who would have thought that was the case? The energy sector is now up an astonishing 52% in just over a week. Can you believe that?
And if it did it again and then again, it might be profitable.
And it still wouldn't be back to where it was a few years ago.
But it's coming back.
Yeah. Despite that, it's still down 39% this year. And crazy statistics on the energy sector. Communication services, materials, financials, and industrials were all up more than 1% this week. Utilities, consumer staples, and healthcare all traded lower, with utilities being the worst sector, dropping more than 4%. Now, the interesting thing about that is all three of those are defensive sectors, which is, again, a positive sign for the market going forward, because those are the sectors that have lost, in general, the least in this crisis. And the fact that people are trading out of them now to go into more cyclical stocks like energy or sectors like energy is a pretty good sign. So keep an eye on that next week. Continuing a trend, Brazil and Mexico, two of the hardest hit stock markets this year, both traded more than 5% higher this week. China and Hong Kong were the largest decliners, both losing more than 2.5%, and those have been two of the markets that have held up the best. So the theme of this week is really things that have been doing well went down, things that have not been doing well went up. European markets were around 2% higher for the week on, again, coronavirus optimism.
And Bojo came back.
Was that this week or last week?
I think he came back Monday morning, didn't he?
Okay, that might be, yeah. He apparently has fully recovered from coronavirus, much to the media's dismay.
that's the truth.
Oil somehow managed to drop again, losing 8% for the week. It's now down more than 80% in 2020. Just, again, crazy numbers in the energy sector. Gold and silver both declined about 2%. Bonds declined slightly during the week, but has still posted pretty remarkable gains in 2020. The 20-year Treasury is up more than 24% this year, which is nuts. It really is nuts. And it doesn't even pay you anything. So it's a tough trade to figure out, except you just think you have to think it's all safety.
Yeah, there's some method to their madness, perhaps, or it's just insanity. I'm not really sure what.
Yeah, I've got a bunch
get the feeling you're swimming upstream when you talk about all this stuff.
Absolutely. I've got a bunch more to talk about, but we'll get to that after the break.
Yeah, don't go anywhere, because there's so much to be said, and I think if you play your cards right, there's so much opportunity sitting around out there right now. I would love to think, and I'm not predicting this yet, but I would love to think that by the time we hit the end of this actual year, that a lot of this nonsense is going to be pretty well forgotten by most investors. Although the lessons that you take away from it could last a lifetime, hopefully the scars will heal over time. All right, don't go anywhere. We'll pay some bills. Be back in just a minute. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.
You can't seem to get away from the bad news. So, here's some good news for a change.
Brought to you by the law offices of Kevin Cobbin, Duval's trusted car accident law firm.
Nothing helps communities come together quite like a global pandemic. Later this month, Audrey was supposed to go to Walt Disney World for her Make-A-Wish. Well, since plans kind of fell through, Make-A-Wish set up a special Disney parade on her street with all of her neighbors and her friends. Cars drove by decorated with streamers and balloons, and there were even some guest appearances from her favorite princesses. But don't worry, Audrey is still going to go to Disney when all of this blows over. Greg, who usually delivers newspapers and has been for the past 25 years, is switching it up a little bit. He realized how many seniors on his route were in need, so he started delivering groceries with their newspapers. Word got out, and seniors that weren't even on his route were placing deliveries. Greg said that he's going to deliver groceries for as long as it's needed. Now, that's good news.
Mom, somebody hit my car.
Baby, are you okay? We need to call Kevin Cobbin.
The law office of Kevin M. Cobbin is Duval's trusted car accident law firm. Call 357-8448, 357-8448, because Cobbin cares.
Dramatization, not an actual event, not an attorney spokesperson.
For auto accidents and serious injuries, criminal and family law, Cobbin cares. Call the law office of Kevin M. Cobbin at 357-8448, 357-8448, or click CobbinLegal.com.
Feels like time's running out. You're maxed out on your credit cards. The collection calls are coming every day, and you're two payments behind on your mortgage. It seems like every time you turn on the radio, some cheerful couple's telling you how they got out of debt for pennies on the dollar. No more stress and everything is just wonderful. Come on. The truth is that what sounds too good to be true is too good to be true. You need help and you need it now. Not bankruptcy. That should be your last choice. We're Credit Card Relief, and we've been helping people just like you for nearly a decade. We're the attorney-driven program dedicated to helping you get out of debt in months instead of years, all while saving you thousands, and without risking your family home. We know what we're doing, and we don't make promises we can't keep. Call Credit Card Relief right now at 866-580-9999. 866-580-9999. The consultation is free, and the relief is real. 866-580-9999.
Does your roof need replacing, your house need cleaning, or maybe you're ready to update your kitchen? Big or small, whatever your home improvement need, log on to home.servicemagic.com. Service Magic is a free online resource with instant access to pre-screened remodelers, maids, handymen, painters, and many other home contractors. It's easy and it's free. Just go to home.servicemagic.com. Home.servicemagic.com. That's home.servicemagic.com.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we have a trivia question. There is a caller on the line, but I'd like to get the question out there. And who is the caller?
It's Captain Dave.
Oh, good. And I'll give him a chance if he wants to shoot for it anyway. In this past month, this wonderful month, it actually started on March 23rd. The S&P started a 25-day up streak in which it gained 27%, more than 1% a day on average. What was the last year when that happened? And I'll give you a hint. It's not in this century. All right, can we put Captain Dave on?
Hey, guys.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. You know, Kenny Rogers recently died.
Yeah, and so did John Prine.
And one of his biggest hit was The Gambler.
You know? You're right.
There's a line in there that says, "Somewhere in the darkness, the gambler, he broke even." Well, I was within 10 basis points of even around 2 o'clock on Tuesday. But
which
I
day?
Said, let it ride.
Oops. Yeah, you can't win them all. Yeah.
No, hey, listen, I'm. It's a long haul bet. It's not a short haul. You know, and I got Schwab broad, whatever it is. So I just basically I'm betting the market. But
you
I was within 8 or 9 basis points. It was cool.
Was that?
I said I was within 8 or 9 basis points of being even. I bought about halfway down, maybe two-thirds of the way down.
That's what makes timing anything dangerous, and the only time to do it is somebody's just playing around a bit like you.
But well, actually, I put a pretty decent amount of money in there, but the thing is, I can't believe that the American stock market, the equity market, with the underlying strength that is here and the pent-up energy I see, which I thought would, I can't imagine that we're going into the type of depression, which it'll be 5 years before everything gets back 10 years.
That's and nobody will have to apologize for their stupid predictions either. Listen for the next few minutes. Adam's going to talk about some, I think, very surprising things that are actually going on in the market right now.
Yep.
And you won't hear about this anywhere but on this show. But things aren't looking that bad out there.
I had a bad news sell, and that's been the case.
Yeah, true.
So, anyway, so I'm going to wait to break even again, but I'm going for the big banana. I'm waiting for it to go back to where it was when this all started, and I'll have made a nice tiny little something.
I will predict very little in life, but I will predict Dow 30,000 will happen. I just won't tell you when until after.
No, well, that's good. Anyway, so you guys take care. Enjoy this beautiful weather. St. Johns County is opening up the beaches unlimited as of Monday.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
Bring your coolers, bring your chairs. Oh, man, I got a programming associate I work with, lives in Michigan. They're nuts up there, boy. They're going to have a revolution. They're going to have a revolution.
Look out. Unfortunately, someone's going to get hurt in this thing, and that's where I draw the line.
It gives certain people all this power, all of a sudden it goes to their head. Yeah. It's amazing how many dictators there would be if they had the opportunity.
Yep, and as I always say, it's like blowing up the balloon. Every time they get power and you let them have it, the next time they get it easier, and the next time they get it easier, it's got to stop.
Well, I think that the lesson is being learned by a lot of the populace. Hey, wait a minute, you don't have this authority.
Exactly right.
But it still comes down to when that officer walks up to you and says you're too close to the other person.
Yep.
I was proud of the guy in Ocean County, California, Orange County, California, east of the sheriff. He said, I'm not enforcing the rules, sorry.
Yeah.
And, you know, people don't realize that a sheriff has the ultimate authority. I mean, the authority of a sheriff, he's not just a policeman. He is a person with tremendous authority to obey or to do whatever he wants.
That's why there's a national movement on the left to appoint sheriffs instead of elect them. Do that, it's a step toward a place you don't want to go.
That's right. All right, guys. Well, let's have a good weekend and good next week, and everything's going to be fine.
Thanks for calling. Good luck.
All right, take care.
Now, as I said, Adam's got some things that you won't hear in other places about what's actually going on out there. And it's not as negative as the newscasts you've been listening to.
Yeah, actually, I talked about most of those points. I was going to get into the economic data, which there is no positive reads on the economic data. I mean, it's. I wanted to call it shocking, except that we all knew it was coming, so it's not shocking, really, but even just the size of the numbers is pretty incredible. We had GDP come out this week. It declined 4.8% in the first quarter. And you remember, for two of the 3 months, we were pretty much business as usual. In fact, January was one of the better months on records for a lot of different businesses. It's just pretty bad right now. But we really haven't seen what a bad number looks like yet, because the second quarter is going to be even worse. It's forecast to decline 35%.
I'll bet anything it doesn't.
I don't think so either, but it's still going to get worse before it gets better.
Oh, yes, definitely.
If it did decline 35%, it would be by far the biggest drop ever on record.
If we don't get a verifiable recession, meaning two quarters of negative GDP growth, I will be the most surprised person on earth.
Yeah, same.
Happiest way. Also.
Yeah, that'd be great. I don't see any way that we can avoid it. But, you know, we're already in it, so it is what it is at this point. The biggest drag on GDP was in the services category, which was actually leading growth going into the shutdowns. And ironically, half of that decline came from healthcare services, an area that has been hit due to mandatory shutdowns of all non-coronavirus-related procedures. Now, that is actually an area that is scheduled to start opening this week here in Florida and many other states as well. Some have even opened already. And I think there's a lot of pent-up medical demand at this point.
I'm going to be curious. Next week is jobs week because the first was on Friday and they didn't have time. But on Thursday, when the new unemployment claims come out, I'm going to be very curious to see how many people are claiming and how many people are going off because they're back to work.
Yeah, I'm actually looking forward to that as well, just to figure it out. But the numbers have been steadily declining week by week on the new claims, but
yeah, they're hundreds of thousands.
But they're still at record levels by
2.84 million announced this week.
But that was down like 600,000 or 800,000 from the week before.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how this works out with things starting to reopen and people getting hired. Continuing claims will be the one to watch to kind of sort out all that data. But it is going to be a phased reopening in most states, so you're not just going to see them turn the key and the ignition's back on and they're up and running. It's going to be slow and steady, which is the right way to do things, but it also it'll put a damper on turning back on the economy.
Yeah, spend a second on small caps. I think this is very significant.
The small caps are really, really lagging the overall indexes. They're down closer to 30% at this
point. Which intellectually makes all the sense in the world.
Yeah, because they're the ones that are really getting hurt by the shutdown. Small caps tend to operate more locally, and when all of your consumers are on lockdown and can't spend money with you, obviously you're not going to fare well. A lot of them are in that range where they're not going to get the PPP money because they have more than 500 employees, but they're also not in those list of big giant companies that are getting the direct bailouts from the government. So that could be a potential reason they're down so much. There's just a lot of reasons why they're getting hit harder than the overall markets. But when you start to see 2 weeks in a row they've outperformed the broad market, so that's a positive sign because investors are starting to believe that as the states reopen, they will start or resume doing business with the small cap companies, small and mid caps actually, and so therefore investors are realizing that and putting money into them on the bet that they will be the big benefactors of the economy starting to reopen. So I think it's a good bet. I personally would believe in that as well and not be afraid to put a little bit of money in that direction over the following weeks.
What do you think for further downside? I read all kinds of things.
Oh,
we're
sure.
going to retest the March lows and all this stuff.
I think it's a possibility. I don't think it's the most likely possibility, but of course it's possible. It just depends on sentiment and mood of the investors and basically how, as you see the coronavirus stats, whether they go cases go up or down based on the reopenings and how those two things coincide, that will dictate where the market goes to me.
And if it does head down that direction again, the dumbest thing you can do
is sell out, of course.
Exactly.
Because by the time you get out, we're already going to be close to a turnaround. So don't do it.
Yeah, I fear that some people might be out there trying to shake the bushes a little bit and get another dip to buy into it. But we'll see.
I mean, the week was flat. We had a bad day on Friday, but we had a really good start to the week, and I just don't think that the entire mood of the country changed on Wednesday. It doesn't make sense.
How about sell in May and go away?
I mean,
I think we're done with that one now.
Yeah.
That's from yesterday. May 1st. Mayday.
Yeah, if you should have done it on when you should have sold at the end of April. I mean, I don't know. I hate stupid catchphrases, slogans like that, and they've been really wrong over the last 5 years.
Oh, and even longer than that, they've been wrong. A little April or May has been up 0.41% on average over a several year period. So this is again. The market loves to have slogans, and people like to have their little rules of thumb and all that, but. Yeah, that's market timing. It doesn't work. Don't even think about it. All right, we got a whole bunch more coming up in the second half, so we'll pay some bills. Be right back. Don't go anywhere. This is the VanWee Financial Hour.
Talk Radio, AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Florida is set to reopen state parks. Governor Ron DeSantis said Friday the parks will be reopening on Monday. He also said there's a low risk of transmitting the coronavirus during outdoor activity, providing people still practice social distancing techniques. He also said the exercise will be good for Floridians' overall health. An earthquake with a preliminary magnitude of 6.6 has taken place south of the Greek island of Crete. The U.S. Geological Survey said this afternoon, local time, that the quake was centered in the Mediterranean Sea about 56 miles south of the nearest populated areas, the village near Nea Anatoli and the town of Eripetra. The German Research Center for Geosciences also gave a preliminary 6.6 magnitude on that event. No reports of damage or injuries. On Wall Street Friday, the Dow lost 622. The NASDAQ was down 285 points. This is SRN News.
A coronavirus update brought to you by Best Transmission. Don't mess with the rest. Come see the best. Florida's COVID-19 cases now stands at more than 34,700. More than 1,300 in the state have lost their lives. 1,025 cases now in Duval County, 273 in Clay County, 208 in St. John's, and 57 in Nassau. While announcing the reopening of state parks, Governor DeSantis reminded us that the virus does not live long in sunlight, and getting out of doors is good for us mentally. Jacksonville retail stores and restaurants are spending the weekend getting everything ready to reopen on Monday. If you go out, keep in mind they can only allow 25% capacity. You may encounter lines to get in. People trying to make appointments for the city's stimulus checks overwhelmed the system and caused some shutdowns. If you couldn't get through before, keep trying. Let's stay safe and have a great weekend. Thank you for what you're doing to help stem the spread of this virus. Keep listening for more updates.
Don't mess with the rest. Come see the best. Best Transmission is an essential business open to serve you. Best Transmission is celebrating 35 years of servicing front-wheel, four-wheel, and overdrive transmissions. 10% discount for military. Best Transmission for quality parts and work for foreign and domestic vehicles. Best Transmission, 8139 Nevada Street on Jacksonville's west side. Drive up or call for an appointment at 783-4980, 783-4980. Or look up Best Transmission on Facebook.
I'm Clayton Bromberg, the president of Underwoods. If you're interested in buying a fine-quality diamond, but might start with a smaller diamond and then over time grow that to a larger size diamond, at Underwoods we have a way to do that, and we've been doing it for more than 50 years. We call it Grow a Diamond, and here's how it works. When a customer buys an Underwood engagement ring, solitaire diamond pendant, or a pair of ear studs, we guarantee they get the price they paid for it on the purchase of any bigger diamond. Now, a lot of stores would say, big deal, we do that too, but here's the Underwood difference. We guarantee you get what you paid when you trade in your Underwood diamond, even if you're only trading up by $1. It's not that you have to trade up two for one like most jewelers ask. We've done this with thousands of customers through the years, so if you're interested in growing a diamond, come by and see us at Underwoods in San Marco, Avondale, or the Shops of Ponte Vedra.
How will the weather affect you? WBOB Weather.
Going to be a sunny weekend with highs into the upper 80s. Clear nights through Tuesday night. Lows about 65. Sunny on Wednesday with a 20% chance of rain. High 87. Partly cloudy Wednesday night down to 62. And then sunny Thursday and Friday. Highs of 82.
Van Wee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Lee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Lee.
And I'm Adam Van Lee.
And our trivia question is still out there, brought to you by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm. You can call Ken at 904-636-7888. And it is, on March 23rd of this year, we began a streak in the S&P 500 that saw a gain of 27% in only 25 days. What year was the last time that happened? And it was not in this century. All right, we have someone on the line, Greg.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Of course.
I'm calling, and I don't know if you already mentioned it. I heard bits and pieces about the oil. So I've been looking at some companies, some traded companies that are tanker companies, and right now they're basically sitting at sea acting as storage facilities more than just moving oil around.
I've done quite a bit of research,
and it looks like that there's still an overcapacity, well, there is an overcapacity of production of oil at about 50 million barrels a day or a week, and it looks like that our land storages are nearing capacity. So I don't know if you guys have, you know, looked into that area at all, but I was just curious about your thoughts.
Well, you're absolutely right in that their wheels aren't turning these days because there's nowhere to go. But if you look at the underlying numbers that are out there right now, demand has started to tick up. And it's kind of what we were talking about real early in the show, that you can see it on the roads. When you do go out nowadays, the traffic is much, much heavier than it was. Let's back up just a little bit. I call oil the most self-correcting market ever. It is a virtual perfect example of the free market. When oil gets too expensive, we stop using it, and therefore it goes down until we use it. When oil gets really low because there's more supply than demand, we start driving again, and we create the uptick in demand that brings the price. There's a norm level somewhere in there, and I think the new normal, if I might, although I hate the expression, is somewhere between about $40 and $60, maybe $45 to $65. It got down to minus, what was it, 34?
35.
A couple weeks ago?
Yeah.
And now it closed this week at almost 20. Also, Russia, Saudi Arabia, us, we are all cutting our production, which is going to start putting it back in balance, too. But I do think it has quite a ways to go. Also, Trump filled up the Strategic Petroleum Reserve at $1.20 or something like that, which was nothing short of brilliant. And you're right. I think I would not be getting in just yet, but I'd sure watch week to week how those statistics are changing.
I appreciate that. You know what I know is as the production shrinks going into 2021, there's a number of the tanker companies are going to be reducing the number of ships because they're going to be going into to be recycled. So I'm not sure how that would affect the tanker companies.
Well, it's all going to play into creating that equilibrium. At any given moment in the world's oil market, we are generally within about 3% of a perfect match between supply and demand. It doesn't take much. And we've seen this in the past. You think about it. A couple of those hurricanes that come ripping up through the Gulf, they shut those rigs down and leave, and all of a sudden there's a huge spike in oil. But
right,
that's leveled out a lot now, thanks to us.
Yeah, fracking has really changed the dynamic of how the oil markets work, and Russia and Saudi Arabia don't like it one bit.
Nope.
But it is here to stay, and it has really leveled out the price of oil, and I'm saying this at a time when it's probably moved more than it has in any other given year in the last who knows how many years, but at the same time, we're very unlikely to see 100 and
plus dollar barrels of oil anymore because of fracking. So the it's just changed so much in the last 10 years. The whole market has shifted, but the one common theme is that it's a self-regulating market. We always say that the lower the price goes, the higher the demand goes, unless you've shut down the world for some other reason, like right now.
That's an artificial stimulus. It is, given a free market economy, which we are headed back to very quickly, it will just be a matter of time. But I definitely think there's upside in oil and in the energy markets. I don't know when it will be realized because I don't know the timeline of turning the world back on. But it's there. You're not going to see $2 oil forever or $10 or $20. And you certainly, when we were at $100, we knew we weren't going to see that forever either.
Yeah, and if you're comfortable that these companies are not going to go out of business and start buying in now, if you're a little early, wait a little longer. Yeah, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
What's really funny?
Let me ask you a really quick question. Do you think the frackers? A number of them are going to go bankrupt. And some of them have already gone bankrupt. Mm-hmm. Do you think the big oil is going to come in and scoop up the leases on these lands that they've been producing or that they've been using their fracking on, and then sit and hold on those leases without actually putting a drill into the ground, and then hope, you know, that way, you know, kind of creating a monopoly on the price of oil?
Let me answer that with a question. Would you do that?
Yes.
Are you smart?
Well, I like to think so. My wife thinks I'm smart.
Okay. Do you think the people that run oil companies are smart?
They're much smarter than me.
Well, there's your answer. It's a good idea, and of course they'll do it. Yeah. I mean, there's only two ways that can go, really. Either the big guys come in and scoop it up, or some other company, or some private capital comes in and does it. Someone's going to do it. I don't know who it'll be. I would guess that it would be the big guys, but I can't tell you that for sure.
Now, there's a lot of Texas oil billionaires, that kind of thing, that are just sitting around these days waiting for the next opportunity. Now, I love to tell the story about my wife's friends. She went to school in Colorado back in the 60s, and she knew a lot of people who were in the energy business, whether oil or nuke or whatever. And throughout their lives, we kept tabs on a few of them. And they work half, two-thirds of the time, something like that. And then the price falls, and they shut the things, and they go home, and they're carpenters and so on. And then the phone rings one day, and they're back in the oil fields working again because the price came back. This is a cycle that has repeated itself, you know, lather, rinse, repeat, over and over and over. And this is just part of that cycle, although a severe part of this particular cycle. But it'll be back. We can't live without it. I don't care what AOC says. We can't live without it.
Right. Okay. Hey, thanks a lot. It was a great show. I always love listening to you guys.
Thank you. Pleasure talking to you. Do you want to take a shot at the trivia?
I couldn't say the exact year, but I'm going to say it was right after the great... early 1900s when the stock market...
That was 1929, and you're right. It is later than that, although you are certainly in the ballpark.
Okay.
Everybody? Good. Thanks to Greg for making it easier for you.
Okay.
Take care of yourself.
Right.
A good day.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Greg. We have another caller, actually, if we have time.
Well, we can set it up anyway.
Yeah, George is on the line. Hey, George.
Yeah, good morning, guys. Glad you're talking about oil. I worked in the oil industry. There's a change by Tesla, which is going to affect oil significantly. There's something called a supercapacitor, and he bought out Maxwell. And then I wanted to bring up cutting healthcare costs in half and dealing with the coronavirus.
We've got about 50 seconds, but if I can put you on hold through the break, we'll pick you up right on the other side.
Great.
I'd appreciate it. Thank you. All right, after the break, we're going to hear more from George. And I've known about some of the stuff, and you are starting to read a little bit more, too. It's not the only thing that's going to affect oil, but it's one of the things that will. And it's very interesting. The long run, market values do things, market forces do things.
it's going to teach us how to wean ourselves off it. Machinery still needs it. We still got to use it for transportation. But the overall demand is definitely dropping, and that ought to make pretty much everybody happy except the people in the business. So anyway, we're going to take a little break, and we'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.
A coronavirus update brought to you by Tools for a Time on Old St. Augustine Road and I-295. Florida's COVID-19 cases now stands at more than 34,700. More than 1,300 in the state have lost their lives. 1,025 cases now in Duval County, 273 in Clay County, 208 in St. John's, and 57 in Nassau. While announcing the reopening of state parks, Governor DeSantis reminded us that the virus does not live long in sunlight, and getting out of doors is good for us mentally. Jacksonville retail stores and restaurants are spending the weekend getting everything ready to reopen on Monday. If you go out, keep in mind they can only allow 25% capacity. You may encounter lines to get in. People trying to make appointments for the city's stimulus checks overwhelmed the system and caused some shutdowns. If you couldn't get through before, keep trying. Let's stay safe and have a great weekend. Thank you for what you're doing to help stem the spread of this virus. Keep listening for more updates.
Are you still waiting on your stimulus check? Create your own stimulus with a turnkey business package from Tools for a Time. For 25 years, Tools for a Time has helped people achieve the dream of being their own boss with commercial landscape packages powered by Exmark. Exmark mowers are the most trusted brand in the industry and proudly built right here in America. Now is the best time to buy with rebates up to $1,000 off and 0% financing with no payments for 120 days. Let Tools for a Time and Exmark get you back to work today. Online at toolsforatime.com.
Does your roof need replacing, your house need cleaning, or maybe you're ready to update your kitchen? Big or small, whatever your home improvement need, now it's easy to find the right home pro for your project. Log on to home.servicemagic.com. Service Magic is a free online resource with instant access to pre-screened remodelers, maids, handymen, roofers, and many other home contractors. Just go to home.servicemagic.com. Service Magic has a network of licensed and insured contractors in hundreds of home improvement categories. If you need a painter, electrician, plumber, or any other home service, visit home.servicemagic.com. It's easy and it's free, and it's the source to find neighbor-recommended contractors in your area. Now you can hire a pre-screened home pro with confidence. Go to home.servicemagic.com. It's quick, it's free, and there's no obligation. Go to home.servicemagic.com. That's home.servicemagic.com.
Is it time for a new roof? Get your roofing job done right. Call Sears Roofing right now for a free in-home estimate. That's Sears Roofing. Not available in all areas. Installation provided by Sears Authorized Licensed Contractors. License information available upon request. Call Sears Roofing right now. 1-888-990-2233. That's 1-888-990-2233. 1-888-990-2233. Sears.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
We're all in it together. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we have with us on the line, George, but hang on one moment first. This segment is sponsored by Robinson Landscape and Maintenance, and you can call Troy at 662-9794. George, talking about energy.
Yeah, I work for World Dutch Shell, which is one of the original, you know, Seven Sisters. And they are moving towards hydrogen. And, of course, there are two other things that are really significantly affecting the use of oil and gas. And one is combined cycle. Most cars only are 15 to 20% efficient. And if you do a combined cycle, it gets up to 70%. And that's already done in aircraft engines, gas turbines. Even JA has some out I-10. And you actually burn the fuel in one turbine, and then you have a backup turbine.
And the afterburner effect?
Yeah, you take that heat and you add a little more heat to it, and you generate steam, and you have a steam turbine. So the two of them together give you much more efficiency than stuff in the past has. And I think Shell was involved in hydrogen work years ago in Iceland for ships, et cetera, fishing boats. Now, Tesla first used lithium batteries, and he had a lot of trouble with fires in cars. And then he switched to lead, which are very heavy, and they're a pain to deal with and toxic. And then now he's bought Maxwell. Maxwell makes supercapacitors to store energy. And they're like a normal capacitor, but they store a lot more energy. Mm-hmm. And they're nowhere as heavy as some of the other things. So watch that coming online, and that'll increase the movement of people towards electric cars. The other thing I want to talk about was coronavirus. And I have equipment that actually detects it early on in the process. And this company is out of Hungary, Budapest, Hungary, and the unit's costing from $8,000 to $25,000. And they were offered to the pharmaceutical industry, the doctors, et cetera, as early as 2006. And they turned their nose up. The pharmaceutical companies thought it would run them out of business to have an electronic system which would do roughly the same thing as tests in the hospital and drugs. And they were misinformed. The thing will actually measure coronavirus in 4 minutes, and also the state of health you have when you've beaten it, et cetera, can be put in there. Anything that can have a frequency is in this machine. It uses quantum waves, which also scares doctors, so they know nothing about quantum waves, and it's an artificial intelligence computer system. And it started with Pavlov in 1904. He won the Nobel Prize, and a doctor in San Diego on our side, Roy Rice. And a lot of crappy machines have been put out there, but this one really works. And it in addition to testing for it, it will give you the side effects, which pharmaceutical companies need, but they refuse to use it, within a few days instead of a year and a half. And it tells you what the secondary infections are. And some of the secondary infections are really bad bleeding-type disorders caused by viruses, et cetera, which have come into the country for years. And Russia and China have been making these things and releasing them. And I worked in 12 countries. I have a lot of relatives who had really high security clearances. And we need to go to this type system. We could get rid of a pandemic like that in about 3 weeks if every doctor had one. And we'd cut our health care costs in half. And all those people who are doing research could come over to the other side and actually treat people who have the diseases. You actually will need a few more people because it's a one-on-one type situation. You can put them in sports stadiums, et cetera, to check people. And the other thing we need to do is one of my favorite things to gripe about, and that's the smart meters built by the Chinese. And these meters, electric meters we have in this town and other places, put out bad frequencies that suppress your immune system. And I've researched this in depth. I've known about these different issues since I was about 14 years old because of my relatives. And we have just really hard-headed people in Washington who won't go ahead and push the issue, although they're approved by the EPA, Food and Drug Administration. They are not commonly accepted by doctors. And here it's run by a private group of relatives. It's not an open company. You can't buy stock in it, but they would really change the whole landscape and probably cut our health care costs in half.
Incredible.
And I'll give you the – I don't want to do any advertising, but switching back to the screener, and I'll give you a couple of addresses you can look up.
Could you email them to us?
Yeah, what's your email address?
info@vanweefinancial.com.
Right.
VANWIE financial.com.
Financial.com. I've been asked to be a broker, but I haven't accepted that. But the point is, I've been using one for 13 years. And before that, my doctor used one for about a year. And the only doctor I ever found who understood the thing, even knew about it, was a Dr. Mayo Clinic, who was an electrical engineer and an MD, and he's moved to another facility now. He's not here, but it's phenomenal the difference people think once they actually get in there and run one for a little while and they realize what it will do.
Always interesting to hear from you. I hear you around a little bit. We've talked a few times, and I appreciate your call.
Well, you have a good show. I appreciate it.
We can put it
out.
Thanks, George. All right, you have a good one.
You too.
Very interesting. I did want to mention, well, I don't have time for this, but I'll tell you what. Next week, I'm going to tell you the relationship between the coronavirus and Roth IRA conversions. Now, if that isn't a bit of an odd fellow, have you got a better one?
Yeah, but there is some good opportunities there.
There certainly are. Adam, is there anything you want to cover, or shall I hit my short stack here?
Hit whatever you got.
All right. Number one, for this year only, 2020, when you are writing a physical check, for those of you who do it, don't put 2-0 on the end of the date line. Put 2020 on the end of the date line, because otherwise it can be changed by any lunatic who gets his mitts on your check. So how about that? That's one. I've been reading a little Clark Howard and stuff. If you got a stimulus check and you don't think you deserved it, too bad. You get it anyway.
But they do want, if your dead relative gets one, they do want you to send it back. So
That's unreasonable.
I'm not going to tell you what to do in that situation, but the government wants their money back.
Does that mean that your dead relative, who is also a voter, or your dead relative in Florida or something?
Yeah, something like that. I'm not exactly sure. But there are actually, if you haven't received a stimulus check, there are several reasons why that might be. One is that the IRS doesn't have your bank account information. Go to their website, irs.gov. There is a place that you can give it to them. And we actually heard from a listener who had some success and was able to give them his address, and he got a check. So other reasons that you might not have received one, you make too much money. Someone else is claiming you as a dependent. There's a glitch in the system. I know it's hard to believe with the government, but it could be the case. Or a debt collector is taking your money. Or your immigration status could be complicating matters. So those are six reasons why you might not have received your money yet. If so, follow up with the IRS. I know they're overwhelmed right now, but in a week or two, they probably won't be as bad. So try them then.
Clark Howard also says, here's his tip of this week, use your gift cards. Some of these places will not be opened up again.
That's good advice. If you can use them online, do that. That's not always an option, but in a lot of places it is. I know some of the bigger big box stores will let you do that.
All right, next. You are inundated with TV commercials about home title lock. They say identity theft happens and your other identity measures are not good enough because they can come in and they can put this second mortgage on your home unbeknownst and all that. And it's true, and I have mentioned it before, don't pay this company $20 a month to do what you can do for free. Just go online and do it yourself, and it will work just fine. Another one, you want to buy gold or silver in this market? The bullion has had some shortages. I think that'll be coming right back. But think about the ETFs. That includes SLV for silver, IAU for gold, and GLD for gold. Those are just three of the good ones. Yes, they're backed up by bullion. Don't worry about it. All those things you hear are basically incorrect. All right, I don't know where the hour goes, but we're getting to the end of it. 1938 was the last time there was a 25-day period where the S&P 500 gained 27%. And further, we've also had a loss of that size in the same time frame, and that goes back into the 30s also. But we've seen the most volatility now that we have seen in, 80 years or 90 years, whatever the heck it is. All right.